Welcome to What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm David Kestenbaum.
And I'm Rob Sachs. And David, I want to play you a little something-something. You know those lines. Yahoo!
You're not allowed to play that song.
Why not?
It gets stuck in your head for weeks.
Oh, well, I had to play it because it's part of the theme of this week's episode.
Which is?
A celebration.
Of what?
Well, it's a celebration of the rite of passage. I'm celebrating bar and bat mitzvahs, and this week I wanted to explore the idea of how to be a great bar or bat mitzvah DJ.
Do you have any experience in this?
No, not really DJing. I mean, but I have tons of experience attending bar and bat mitzvahs, including my own, in which I got a lot of people down on the dance floor shaking their booty, you know, well, or I was participating in the booty shaking, I should say. But I've always been fascinated. Just how do they do it? How do they get these crowds of 13-year-olds and all their parents and parents' friends to all be dancing on the same dance
floor? It is an incredible thing. I remember the first time I went to a bar mitzvah, I didn't really know how to dance, so I just did jumping jacks, but for like an hour, you know. It's irresistible. All right, so how do you start things off?
Well, I went to an expert, bar mitzvah DJ Brian Bergman, and he said the first thing you want to do is get people out there being Jewish, having fun, and there's one way to do that.
I like to kick the party off with a horah.
Oh, yeah. I see you dancing. Yeah, very good. You're an expert.
Sort of like the ska step.
I know. I mean, Hava Nagila, you're going to get everyone knows what to do. You grab hands, you're doing circles. But there's the other element of the hora, which is the chairlifting. You know, like, let's get the bar mitzvah boy out there, lift him up on the chair, or the bat mitzvah girl. But it's also really dangerous. I mean, how many times have you heard of, like, some poor little girl going home with a chipped tooth?
I haven't, actually, but you do wonder about it.
Well, I talked to Brian about this, about proper hora safety, and this is what he told me.
The rare cases they fall, they slide off the front because the chair is tilted down. So you avoid that by having one person on each leg to hold the chair and someone behind it to sort of lean the chair back so you can't fall forward.
It seems so simple, and yet so many people, I feel like, forget that quintessential idea of science that, you know, what's tipping forward will eventually fall off on the floor on their face.
I guess there's a whole science to keeping people in a chair. I don't know. I didn't invent it, but it made sense to me.
David, I mean, you know science. I mean, you would think, like, tipping someone back, that's the way to go.
I would think a chair should be on the ground, actually.
I guess that would make more sense even. Like, you know, just maybe spin the person around.
That's what they were designed for.
I mean, maybe that's like the new horror, like the safety horror.
All right, so what are some other ways to get people out on the dance floor?
Well, in a word, line dances. You may be familiar with this little ditty. You can know it. That's electric. Woogie, woogie, woogie. Woogie, 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 woogie. That's electric. Woogie, woogie, woogie. It's that song that just won't go away, the electric slide.
That might actually serve to get celebration out of my head.
No, I don't know where this song came from. I remember it because it came out in like 1990, so just as I was hitting the bar mitzvah circuit. But there's now a new song Brian says people like to line dance to.
To the left. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. One hop this time.
It sounds more complicated.
Right foot, yeah, it's called left the foot, Cha-Cha Slide. It came out almost 12 years ago or something, 96. And it just sounds to me like instructions with a beat behind it.
Right. It's like Simon Says. Yeah.
But people like it. I don't know. But the important thing is that these are all dances where you're getting a big crowd involvement. And so everyone can kind of get out there and do it. The idea is the more people on the floor, most likely the better time people are having.
That seems to be the thing, right? You need to get a crowd going.
Right. And he said there's another great way of doing this, which is to hand out cheap swag.
I also have a whole list of giveaways or props, you know, about 10 different items, anything from inflatable instruments, tambourines and maracas, or a conga line, that each one I tie into a different song or line dance to draw kids and adults out on the floor and get them interacting.
You got to be really drunk for that.
Or just really excited that you have successfully
chanted. Oh, sorry, you're
13.
Chanted. You're 13.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the parents are. But hey, I always thought it was so funny, though, that you have people who have just come out of a service where this, you know, kid's gone through this rite of passage, recited all these very...
reading these ancient texts.
Reading ancient texts. People are dressed in their suits or their best outfits, and they're like, hey, let's put on, like, glow sticks and act like complete idiots. But anyway, that's what a good bar mitzvah DJ does.
Yeah, but that's a good bar mitzvah. You go read the Torah, and then you go out with your glow sticks. I mean, it's been that way for thousands of years.
I know. I think it was in Leviticus, actually. But anyway, there are some times, though, when people just aren't getting out on the dance floor. And that is when you need to roll out the big guns.
I Will Survive, It's Raining Men, Do You Love Me from Dirty Dancing, Love Shack, which is a late 80s song, is a very popular one with both kids and adults. There's even a line dance to it that we sometimes do.
There's something infectious about that music.
Does he have those in the like emergency box,
right,
like red with a special code lock on it?
Break here if no one's on the floor. Because you've seen, like, I actually feel bad sometimes when you're at a bar mitzvah or you're at a wedding or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like they play something and you know it's the wrong song, you know?
And
like,
then they sort of fade it out in the middle because they can tell it's not working.
Right, like something inappropriate, like, you know, some R&B song. They're like, I want to lick you all over. And you're like, the mom's like, what is that? That's wrong. And then, boom, he comes right back with.
Everyone around the world, come on.
Yeah, we're at celebration now. You know, this is the song. He basically has it, like, if there's two CD players, this one's on a continuous loop on the other CD, you know, just because, like, all right, celebration every time. I mean, you can do that.
All right, any last advice?
Well, Brian Bergman, the bar mitzvah DJ, says you never actually want to lose track of why you're there, which is to celebrate the achievement of the bar mitzvah boy or the bat mitzvah girl or the b'nai mitzvot, if there's two of them, you know, maybe there's twins, I don't know. And you want to make sure that they're having a good time at their own party.
Your Hebrew is very advanced.
Thank you. But anyway, I think personally, if I were the bar mitzvah DJ, I think it's my obligation that if there's a young bar mitzvah boy out there, it's my job to call him out and make him dance with his mother to this song.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Isn't it? It's so beautiful.
The tears rolling down my cheeks.
I know.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
But, you know, that's what it's all about. It's being completely embarrassed in front of
a trial by fire.
Yeah,
really.
Everyone, yeah. You know, must see you dance to that song, and then you will truly have become a man that day.
All right, I guess that's it. Thanks again for listening to another edition of What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm David Kestenbaum.
And I'm Rob Sachs.